بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're discussing from this kitab Mu'amalat, the spiritual dimensions of monetary dealings in Islam. We discuss blessings in business, barakat. Urdu we say barakat, Arabic is baraka. So fulfilling the rights of goods, we mentioned fulfilling the rights of goods. A person buys goods, acquires goods, fulfilling the rights of it. And the niyyat is to discharge the zakat, do qurbani, and not to do it for the sake of pride, fame, showing off, and not spending in unlawful avenues and sinful avenues. Then also to take dunya with contentment, not with greed, not israful nafs, but greed and expectation. Then the third hadith in regards to barakat, treating family members well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who desires abundance and sustenance and that he should be remembered after death should treat his relatives well. One who desires abundance and sustenance and that he should be remembered after death should treat his relatives well. So this is treating family members well. You want barakat in your wealth. So by treating family members well, they make dua for you. Otherwise they'll see your riches and they won't be happy for you. They won't be happy for you. Because you don't treat them well, you don't spend on them, you don't assist them. So, although your income will be halal, you'll be living a comfortable life, but they won't be happy for you because you don't have time for them. Therefore, Hazrat says to that al-insan abdul ihsan. The insan in reality is a slave for other people's kindness. You're kind to them, then you'll make them your slave also for the right reasons. And after your demise also, they'll think good about you. Alhamdulillah, he was generous. He had an open hand. He took care of the family. And that will be barakat in your wealth. Number four, abstaining from sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man is deprived of sustenance because of his sin which he commits. A man is deprived of sustenance because of his sin which he commits. So sins, they block a person's rosy sustenance. Therefore, a person should see. One reason is now, because of sins, because of gunas, sustenance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives him. And one is as a test also, he might be doing everything right. But together with this also, person does everything right, should not be for the sake of rozi, for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we find there are some wazaif, barakat and rozi for deaths. So we don't do that amal for that reason. That's a side benefit. The main reason is the pleasure of Allah. I do this amal only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala has promised the effects of this amal will be barakat in my rozi. So the primary objective and intention is I'm doing this amal, reading this wazifa to please Allah. Allah becomes so pleased and so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his promise upon my amal. Allah's promise, you do this amal, I'll open your rozi, I'll bless you, I'll give you barakat. But ya Allah, I'm doing it with this in niyat, that I do it in such a manner that you become so happy, O my Allah, that you fulfill your promise. Not that I'm doing it for that only. Whether Allah is happy, how I'm doing it or not, immaterial. Like Salatul Hajat also we read, Salat for a need. The Salatul Hajat is not for the need. Salatul Hajat I read for Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with my Salah. Allah becomes so happy with my Salah that Allah ta'ala fulfills my need. So the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the goal, that is the objective. So a man is deprived of sustenance because of his sin which he commits. Number five, discharging zakat. You want barakat, discharge zakat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who discharges zakat on his wealth properly, its harm, that is theft, destruction, etc. is removed. That person who discharges zakat on his wealth properly, he is meticulous, he sees properly, as ulama ikram, stock tick, etc. He works out the figures correctly. Then its harm is removed. What is the harm? Theft, destruction, in our case now, hijackings and break-ins, etc. A person, he pays his zakat and is insured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will protect him. But here also, as you mentioned, the primary objective is the pleasure of Allah. Command of Allah, I must discharge my zakat, I will do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased. And here also, discharging of zakat in qurbani. Our Hazrat Wala teaches us also that we get a point to look for the poor person. We say, بِئْسَ الْفَقِيرُ عَلَى بَابِ الْأَمِيرِ وَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ عَلَى بَابِ الْفَقِيرِ. that how despicable and despised is that poor person at the door of the rich man. Why should he come to your door? Yes, well, we have those that are professional beggars. But genuinely, a person now has to come to my door to ask me for money. See how despicable is that poor person that has to come to the door of the rich man. And how excellent is that wealthy person who's at the door of the poor man. That you had to look for him. He didn't have to come to me. He didn't have to come to me, that I went to him. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq when he comes to our zakat, that we go look for the people. And we give it to them with honor, respect, and we keep their standing in society also, not that he has to come to me and beg of me. So whether it comes to zakat also, here the spiritual dimension of zakat is that we go look for the people. That in my locality or in my family, who needs some help, who is there? So they know who to contact, or I contact them. Can we help? Can we do anything? Any problems? So people in the family know also, this person is prepared to assist. In the locality, in the masjid, the generous person, he'll do something for me, he'll arrange for me, he'll help me. So this person is an excellent person. So whether it comes to zakat, and also qurbani also, Hazrat mentioned also, it shouldn't be that our zakat in qurbani becomes an exercise of the phone. Or in those days, just make out a check. Right, this is for qurbani, this for zakat. I got no time. I'm sitting in my office, I'm sitting in my business, I don't have time to discharge these things on my own. The original is you must go on your own and look for the people. Look for the genuine people that are deserving of it. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability. When it comes to qurbani also, we go look for the people. We want to give it to them or to discharge it. And also our zakat. Protect your wealth by giving zakat. This is a protection for your wealth. If a person's wealth is destroyed on land or sea, it is destroyed because of not having discharged his zakat. Something happened, business went down, whatever reason it may be, so check whether my zakat is correct, whether I'm discharging it correctly. Alhamdulillah, many a businessman nowadays, they discharge more as they are cautious, so they discharge more than what the figures should be. Alhamdulillah, so we have those people also. Then we have those in the extreme. My zakat here is going to be coming soon. Now, he feels the pinch. How am I going to take out 20,000 rand, 30,000, or even more? So unfortunately, what they do, all their assets or whatever cash they have, then they give it over to the wife. I'm giving you hadiah. So next morning they wake up, I don't have anything. I give all the money. Money belongs to her. The next day, then they ask back for the money. So that now is cheating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that correct then? Because you avoid paying the zakat. Then he says, no, but I'm saving for a holiday. Now if I give zakat, then I can't go for the holiday. So he thinks that holiday money also is not zakatable. Oh, hajj money also not zakatable. I'm saving for hajj. It's not zakat and hajj money also. So we should ask ulama ikram in regards to the masail of zakat. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person's wealth is destroyed on land or sea, it is destroyed because of not having discharged his zakat. Wealth of zakat, that portion which was due to be given as zakat, destroys other wealth which is mixed with it. He didn't discharge it. So from that money of his, certain amount supposed to be for zakat, he did not separate it, he left it there, did not discharge the zakat. This money which that was due was supposed to be given or destroy the other money left behind. So that has to be given out in zakat, and only 2.5%. It's only 2.5%, and that too, person made money during the year, but you'll calculate on the day. Example, today is the 25th, 26th, 25th Ramadan. They're Muslims, inshallah. So 25th Ramadan. So 25th Ramadan, if zakat is due on the 25th of Ramadan, then I will work out today how much I have. What I spent yesterday is gone. So that's not included in the calculation. And rental coming in, whatever was coming in during the year, it was large amounts. And one day before the 25th, I spent it in certain avenues, whatever it is, then the money is gone. There's no zakat on it. What I have today in my pocket, in the bank, under the mattress in this place over there. So I add on all that, that's all zakatable. What is spent is gone. And if some, the parcel came last night, and that will be added on also. Ask ulama ikram, the masail in regards to zakat. So this is in regards to barakat, blessings in business. Business in the early part of the morning, that is after sunrise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, "Oh Allah, grant blessings to my ummah in the first part of the day. Grant blessings and barakat to my ummah in the first part of the day." Sakhar, the narrator radiallahu anhu, was a trader. He used to dispatch his goods in the first part of the day, as a result of which he earned great profit. This is the hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif. This is after sunrise. After Ishraq, a person proceeds. He goes to his workplace. If the shops are open that time, some places they start late. The winters are severe, so they open 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So depending accordingly now. But he starts his day early and he finishes early. So another riwayat also is mentioned that despicable and evil is that person that goes to do trade early part of the morning and returns the late part of the day or early part of the night, the whole day sitting there. That person now is not blessed. Blessed is that person that starts off early. Starts off early and finishes off early also. But Asr time is wrapping up now. My day has come to an end. So he starts his work early in the morning, so there's barakat in the first part of the morning. Also the part after Fajr Salah is a Mubarak time. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam also went once to the house of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she performed the Salatul Fajr and she was taking a rest. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his Mubarak foot, he tapped her and he woke up and told her, "Fatima, wake up. This is the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes sustenance after Fajr. This is the best time to be in the masjid, in the company of the malaika, reading Quran Sharif, some zikrullah, some mashwara, morning fikr, read ishraq. That is the time of barakat and rozi. This is the time now to take a walk. This is the time to take a walk somewhere where there's bihaya, nudity, immodesty. There's no barakat over there. Barakat is in the house of Allah. Barakat is sitting with the malaika and making a person dhikr, is ma'amulat. There's barakat in that part of the day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the masjid, not at home. The barakat is in the house of Allah. From here everything is distributed. For men, salah in the home is a no-go zone. We don't do salah in the house. Allah Ta'ala means salah in the house for the masturat and for the ladies, not for the men. And now unfortunately also, when the masturat go for umrah, when they go for umrah of hajj, now they want to go to the masjid. They want to perform salah in the haram. For them there is no salah in the haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very particular. He told the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, he told the Sahabiyat, he told the Masurat of Medina Munawwara. Knowing that Salah in the Haram of Medina Munawwara is times 50,000. Then too he told them that more virtues for you, more merit, more reward for you is for you to read your Salah in your home. And then he told them in one room of the house, one corner of the room, there's more reward for you to perform Salah. Who he said this to? To the Masturat of Medina Munawwara. But the Masturat of South Africa, they don't want to understand. They say, "No, we go to the Haram. We read Salah behind the Sheikh al-Haram. The Sheikh Imam al-Haram, we read Namaz behind him." And here also Hazrat makes a point. He says, what is Ghairat? Ghairat is what a man has sensitivity in regards to the woman folk of his home. Those things that are khas and exclusive for him, that Allah Ta'ala has made his wife exclusive for him. His mother is his mother, his sister is his sister. He won't tolerate another man looking at them. He won't tolerate another man looking at them. So this is called ghairat. These are exclusive for me. So when it comes to modesty, modesty is not only in dressing. There's modesty in speech also. Modesty in how you look at someone. Modesty in how you listen. Not rough, not rude. There's bihayai. Person speaks to, okay. Hey, make sharp. It's not a modesty. Now we become so accustomed to speak like that also. So we got a different type of speech now with the ustaz, different type of way speaking to the sheikh, different way speaking to the wife, different way speaking with workers, different way speaking with friends. So we become very good actors right now. But there's only one act, the sunnah tariqah. How my Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke, this is how I should practice to speak, no matter who the person is. Now when I go in the marketplace, Nabi Ali Salatu Salaam wala sakhaban fil aswaq. Even in the marketplace too, he never raised his voice. They also, he never shouted and raised his voice. Sahaba Ikram noted this down. And they also, he will keep the decorum and respect and his etiquette of speech also. Now we know when you go to the shop, you just walk in, the boss is here. Hey, what's happening? And then spoon somebody else, yes boss, what's happening? The whole speech changes. How we speak in the house of Allah must be exported to the marketplace, must be exported to the homes also. But there we speak different. And we phone cousins and connections and all, and how the speech is like, there's no strings attached. We speak how we want to, immodestly. Somebody will listen, how he's speaking. And sometimes you don't realize also the ustaz is there behind the door. He heard you speaking. Or the sheikh is there. All of a sudden, Hazrat Imam, how was speaking? Already you can see how you were speaking. Wasn't the right way to speak? You don't speak like that. You don't speak like that at all. For a believer, it's your one way of speaking. How he carries, yes, but at home now, a person is a bit more relaxed. And with those of respect, he shows a little bit extra respect. But he keeps within the confines, parameters of Sharia, how to speak also. There's modesty in speech. Modesty in speech, modesty in looking also. Now how we look at the sheikh, how we look at the ustaz, and how we look at the wife. Yeah, what you want? Talk. Make sharp, I'm in a hurry right now. How to speak? You speak to insan like that? But when he comes to the cat, oh, now mashallah. Now you became Abu Huraira, father of the cat. Show muhabbat and love to the cat. The dog also sometimes. Animals show so much of muhabbat and love. And the wife will come there, hey, you're irritating me now. I treat her like an animal. And you treat the animal like an insan. So you can ensure, it shows now what you really are. You're not sure whether you insan or haywan also. You don't know how to speak, you don't know how to look, you don't know how to react. So these, Hazrat Thani would say, rahmatullah alayhi, you came to Thana Bhavan, to the Khanka to become a buzruk, you came to the wrong place. Here we'll teach you how to be insan. Ourselves, we're also learning to be insan. Allah Ta'ala teach us that how to speak in the house also, how to be sweet in the house, in the business place. There also, how to treat our workers, we have to learn. We are Muslim businessmen, we are Muslim husbands, we are Muslim, whatever field we are in, we are first Muslim. What is a Muslim? A person that surrenders. He submits, he's not the boss. This also speech has become boss, boss. Allah is the boss. Allah is the landlord. Allah Ta'ala is everything. I'm no boss. I'm just one noker, mulazim, whatever Allah Baqi has given me, I'm the caretaker. I'm only looking after these things. In reality, he's the controller, he's the boss, he makes final decision. I don't make the decision. As much as I plan the day, doesn't happen according to my plan. Happens according to his plan. So there's no way I'm the boss of anything. I'm only the caretaker, and soon I'm going to leave from here also. Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah alayh, who was the king of Balkh, sitting on his throne. And then all of a sudden, somebody just walks in and walks towards him. He's sitting there with his crown on his head, sitting on the throne. So person walks towards him, and so he looks at this person, except from the locality, maybe a wayfarer, maybe a traveler. So ask him, can I help you? He says, yes, I'm looking for B&B, bed and breakfast, motel, hotel, just to spend the night. So he laughs at him. He said, does this look like a hotel or a B&B? This is the palace. He said, I thought this was maybe just a musafir khana, just to spend the night. So he got a bit annoyed. He says, can you see properly? This is the palace of the king. So that wayfarer asked, the traveler asked Ibrahim bin Adham, he said, are you the king? He said, yes, I'm the king. The palace belongs to me. This is my place. He said, before you, who was here? He said, my father. He said, where is he now? He said, he's passed away. He's gone to the Qabristan. He said, before him, who was here? On the same kursi, same throne. He said, my grandfather. My father, then my grandfather. Where is he? Also going to the Qabristan. Before him, who was here? My great grandfather. Where is he? He's also going to the Qabristan. Acha, in that case, this is the Musafir Khana. This is the B&B. Nobody stayed. They all are gone. It hit his heart. And he said, I'm also a Musafir. That is when, according to some narrations, that is when his whole heart turned over. He gave up everything, took out his robes, put on a simple kurta, and he told the ministers, I'm going to look for Allah. I won't find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this throne of mine. And then he became not only the king of people, he became the king of hearts after that. Oh, Muhammad of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with. So when he comes to modesty also, he just digressed a bit. Modesty in speech, modesty in dressing, modesty in our reaction, modesty in listening. So we keep one way of whether we speak, one type of mannerism, etiquette, how we speak, how we listen, how we sit, etc. This all according to Sunnah. That's why we look for the Sunnah. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how was he at home? How he spoke to the Zawj al-Mutahharat? When he came to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when he came to family members, how we displayed muhabbat and love all within the confines of Sharia, that is the sunnah. So that's why we say sunnah, we follow the sunnah in sirat and surat. Surat refers to the external appearance. There also we follow 100% to the best of our ability. And sirat, the internal part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was. That is why we learn when you go for gusht also. They say when you go for gusht, they say wear two chadars, wear two urni, wear two coverings. One is ghadda basar and one is dhikrullah. That you put your gaze down, that is one covering. And the other covering of the heart, we are protected from dunya. I mean the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is practiced for you to walk out of gush. That confined to gush only. That now, I got now a different identity. Now I'm with the Jamaat Satis now. So now I'm gush right now, can't talk. And now talk nicely also. Then out of gush now. They're going janwar now, janawar. Ah, shouting and screaming, you know. See, now I was on gush that time. Now we can tune. Yeah, how you talk so nicely now? What happened to you? You got dual or multiple identities. How many passports you got? So, there's something for us to think about. How gush we speak, practice for us, that's how we walk out of gush also. With the gaze down, the dhikr on the tongue. And when you'll tie this now, then even the family will say, what happened to you? A buzruk. Now you change now, no more shouting and screaming and making jokes all the time and laughing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't guffaw, didn't just burst out laughing. Has become the norm of the day amongst the women and masturat also. Just want to laugh, let's get together, we'll laugh. We'll just laugh and joke. Let's go out for the weekend, go to some resort somewhere so we can laugh it out. Nabi alayhi salatu never laughed like that. The heart becomes hard because of laughing like that. Just laughing and joking and joking. The Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, we learn from Allah Walas. The Shaykh mentions in one of his writings, he said, there was one night of my life I'll never forget. One night of my life, when I think about it, I still feel the bitterness and it still pains my heart. He said, we were young and all the cousins got together and we all were excited. So we bought some milk for the night to make tea. There in Saharanpur, in India, you buy milk in packets. So you go to the milk vendor and you tell him how many you want. There they buy in kilos, 1 kilo milk. So he got a packet, he filled the packet up with a rubber band around it on the top. They say we bought milk for the night. And all the cousins got together. What we'll do tonight? Tonight we'll spend in poetry. So they all love the poetry. And that too, so to say, Islamic poetry. And we have a competition. That you say one line and I will try to rhyme it now with another line of poetry. And see who's better than the other. So you see, the night started. The night started, and one sati was appointed to make the tea, the chai, and the tea was rolling, and the poetry was moving. He said, hey, we're enjoying ourselves. And he said, before I knew it, the azan of Fajr was sounded. It stuck my heart. I was like, what you did? You wasted the whole night. He said, that night just got wasted in amusement. Although, it was some Islamic poetry, but to him it was amusement. He said, the whole night got wasted. He said, till today, my old age, when I think of that night, this pains my heart, Ya Allah. How I lost that night. How did I lose that night without any dhikr of Allah, not even thinking about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? He says, till tonight, I still make tawbah for that night, till today. And how that night just passed like this? How they value time. How they value time. That time is such an asset. It's like a block of ice melting away. Qiyamah Day, I'm going to regret how I wasted those moments. Just sitting on the phone, socializing. There's no time to socialize, my dear brothers. No time. People phone, how's Ramadan? How's it going? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? There's no time to socialize. The phone is used for a zarurat. You got a need, you can phone. Yes, family members to ask khairiyat, how are you feeling? Everything is okay. But just to spend hours and hours just to waste time, yes, Hazrat says also, when it comes to our mashayikh, comes to one sheikh, comes to the ustaz, to make this a call, assalamu alaikum, thinking of you, making dua, please make dua for me, everything is okay, any taqaza, any need, any khidmat, alhamdulillah. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just keep ta'alluq in contact, no problem. Now we have the WhatsApp, alhamdulillah. We have the WhatsApp, alhamdulillah, so that makes it easier. So no time is just wasted, just making the phone call, because I got 3 minutes. So now I just got to make the phone call and just chit chat, nothing to do. I read Durood Sharif, make istighfar, there's so much to read right now, and make my akhirat. I'm losing time right now. And unfortunately, when it comes to our minds right now, Hazrat says to Because secular education, they've raped our minds. We don't even know how to think straight. That the child is 2 years old, 3 years old, and Opa now is 80 years old. Opa is 80 years old. Now, he lost 80 years of his life through throwing a party. He lost 80 years of his life through throwing a birthday party for him. His 80th birthday, celebrating a loss. Who celebrates a loss 100,000 rand through a party? Let's have a bribe. I lost 100,000 rand, I'm advertising now, there's a bride tonight because I lost money. Say, bevakuf. Person is a fool. What kind of a person is this? He lost 80 years. And now we're trying to put 80 candles on the cake also. He doesn't even have now the breath to blow it out. But now he must blow it out. And hip hip, worry. I say, 80 years old he hit on milestone. This time the qabr stone is going to hit. But now we're making birthday for him. He said, now where the mind is going to? How are we wasting our life? As the Shaykh Rahimahullah said that one night I lost in bitterness. Allah, how that night went like that? How many nights we wasted? Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Just on the phone, or just seeing something haram, or some football, or something like that. Allah Ta'ala didn't make us like this. Didn't make us for that. Just to waste the time away. That's why we stay with our Kabir and our Shaykh, and we see how they value time. Even few minutes left for namaz, they're opening Quran Sharif. They're reading some zikr they're making. As I mentioned to us also, he said his brother-in-law, when he Qasim Saab, Ali Rahmatullah Ali. And he says he would, sometimes sitting in the car, they're going in Jamaat, they're entering the town. He says he still got his Quran open, still reading. He said, Manana, I've entered the town. Ah, take care. They're still reading Quran Sharif. The car stopped, they're still reading Quran Sharif. He said, we reached already. We're at the masjid. No problem. He's still reading Quran Sharif until they come and open his door. As they open the door, now he's reading the last ayah, he closes it. Manana asked him one time, why you wait till the last? He said, why must I waste time? I must see now we entered the town. What I must see? Look at the street. We saw tar enough already. We saw houses enough already. In that few moments, I get 20 more ayats. 10 more ayats. Why just waste the time? Right, when it's time to close it now, finally, now I close it. Now Iqama is about to start. Now I close my Quran Sharif. Now it's time to close it. So when it comes to sharam and haya, modesty in speech, modesty in how we listen also, modesty in how we walk also, so when it comes to the Haramain Sharifain, the Mustarat, here they don't come to the masjid. There they want to go to the masjid to perform salah. Darul Azab al-Fatwa, I'm sure it hasn't changed as yet, according to the Fatwa of Darul Azab al, that the Mustarat and the woman's salah in the Haram is not even valid also behind the Imam. Because the Imam of the Haram, they don't make intention for the ladies behind them. They don't make intention for the ladies behind them. So you might think, now what about the other ladies then? In the other madahib, is that necessary for the Imam to make niyat for the ladies? They just come and join up, their namaz is valid like the men. We just join behind the Imam, he made niyat of imamat. So we just go and join behind him, our salah is valid. So in the other mazahib also, the ladies just join up, their salah is valid. The Hanafi mazhab, for the ladies' salah to be valid, the Imam has to make a valid intention that I have ladies behind me for their salah to be valid. So according to the fatwa of Darul Ulum Azadbal, even the ladies' salah behind is not even valid because the Imam Sahib doesn't make niyat for them. So they should be very careful. So we tell them, your salah, and as I say, when it comes to modesty, ghairat, the sensitivity for a man, even for a woman now, even for a woman to say to the husband, hey, that sheikh, that imam, hey, I love his reading. It's against modesty to her to say to her husband also she loves another man for something. Whether it's Imam of the Haram, whether it's on Qari Sahib also. That's why it becomes entertainment. You're listening now just to the voice. Even Nazam Nasheed also. Oh, I love that certain singer, that certain Nasheed artist. And husband also, he doesn't feel anything. He should feel, how could you speak of another man like that to me? That you love his voice. Oh, you love his qiraat. Yes, we listen to it, we enjoy it, alhamdulillah. That's modesty in speech. Now, the Mastura don't even know how to express themselves correctly. And the man doesn't have the sensitivity also. He accepts it. He just accepts it. So these are lessons now to teach our masturat and our ladies how to have the sharam, how to have that modesty when they're speaking also. They like something, how to express themselves. And the man also to understand that this is not something to say to me, that you love that man because of certain quality he has. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding to become a real man of iman and our masturat also. So for women, their salah is in the home. That is the most virtuous thing for them. To read salah in the home, they will get the full reward of the haramain, the full barakat. Eyes are protected, the heart is protected also. So they're in the home, they're reading the salah. Yes, they can go to the Haramain. They go to the Haram of Madinah Munawwara to be close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We're going to sit in his company right now. That's the niyyat we make. We get to the Haram to sit in the company and get the suhbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And once we enter the Haram Sharif, now we can recite direct durood. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Outside the Haram, then we can't make salat and salam like that. We read normal durood Sharif. So we're going for that reason to the Haram. For that reason, they can go to the Haram. Whether to read the salah on their own. When it comes to Makkah Mukarramah, then the intention is we are going to the Haram to see Baytullah. That I can't do from my room. There's the reward of Baytullah. I'm going to make tawaf over there. For that reason, now they can go to the Haram. But for them to go to the Haram for salah, that now there's no mas'ala that they can go to the Haram in for salah. For Zawj Mutahharat used to go, Masturat used to go, Sahabiyat used to go. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them. And also as Aisha mentioned in her time, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw the ladies dressing how they're dressing right now and coming to the masjid, he would have stopped them from coming. He said, it's that time. If he saw them dressing like how they're dressing that time, he would stop them and close it. Now how the women are dressing, inna lillahi. We know how they're dressing right now. And coming to the house of Allah dressed like that. Coming to the house of Allah dressed like that, how can you say even it's permissible right now? They can't even leave the home. Even with the niqab and the parda they are wearing right now, if you look at the sahabiyat radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna, to them that's not even niqab and hijab. That's the reality. Is that even hijab and niqab? Yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihin. Quran, this comes in Quran Sharif. Many women say, where's hijab in the Quran? Now they distinguish between hijab and niqab. They say, no, we are in hijab. Hijab means wearing scarf. And niqab is covering the face. Hijab and niqab is one thing. In the 22nd para, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was addressed, Ya ayyuhan nabi, kul ya zuwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'mineen. Say to your respected wives and your beloved daughters and the believing women, yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. Jalabib, that they should don upon themselves a jalabib. Jalabib comes from jilbab. Jilbab refers to one piece of cloth. One piece of cloth that covers a woman from head to toe completely. That's what the Quran speaks about, jilbab. That is what the Quran demands. One piece of cloth covers the entire body and is baggy, is loose, is that footing. This is barada. This is barada, where is one piece of cloth. And a tabi'i rahimahullah was explaining this mas'ala to his students. And he showed them. He brought one piece of cloth and covered himself and he left only one eye open. He said, this is what Allah Ta'ala demands in Quran Sharif. That you cannot make out. Because the original parda of the woman is the four walls. That is a parda. Where no man can see her. Don't know who's behind the wall. So when she leaves the home, then the command would have been that is your parda. That is your hijab. The four walls are your hijab. So it would have meant that if you have to go somewhere, then you must take your house with you. So nobody can see you. But not possible. Unless you put it in a caravan or something. But not possible. So the demand of Quran Sharif is how you were protected behind those walls. Nobody knew who's behind there. Whether 80-year-old, whether 50-year-old, whether 18-year-old, nobody can see. So when you leave the house also, behind the parda you are wearing, nobody can make out 18-year-old or 60-year-old. That is parda. That is the original, that is the correct. Now what has happened to the masturat is just that they have tweaked a bit their dresses. They just made it maybe a bit baggy and they put it to black color and they put a piece of cloth on their face. And they say this is parda hijab. This is what you think it is. This is not what the Quran demands. This is just an apparel, something that you designed just to fit a little bit into what the demand of Quran Sharif is. But this is not the hijab and parda. Doesn't mean not just to cover the face and cover the body. It's a way how to cover the face and how to cover the body. This is the demand of Quran Sharif. That there is no attraction whatsoever. But now you know the abayas and the jilbabs etc. have become more attractive. As one alim says, it's actually become a dress. It's a black dress that needs now another parda top of it to cover it. Now whether we have a brand name shining on the niqab or on the dress is attractive. The shoe also now has become fashionable. Now become sketches or tackies, different colors, and it attracts the eye. So you take the eye, there is no more hijab. What hijab means? To be behind a barrier, to be concealed. Hijab means to be concealed. Like how they say on the day of Qiyamah, you will have those sinners that will be mahjub, they'll be behind the barda, hijab, they won't be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll be in hijab. Allah will block them from seeing Him. So the masturat also must be blocked, that nobody eyes is attracted by them. But the shoes are attractive now. And the dresses have become attractive. It's just a black dress, it's fitting also now. So this hasn't become, there's no more hijab and niqab anymore. We have to go back to the original. The muzakara has to be made. Now to bring the masturat back to the original, Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq and understanding. That this is really what Allah Ta'ala wants. Otherwise we find when they go out, and the shopkeepers that are selling these things, they can see clearly what brand she's wearing, what type she's wearing, what her size is. They know it already. No, you are 56, you are 54. Because they can see it. But she's wearing the proper hijab, niqab. And just to, Hazrat says, to just understand what kind it is, you look at the Afghani women, they wear it. Just that one piece goes right down. And just like a netting in the front, that's it. That is the hijab and barda. That's how it should be right at the bottom. But we know for our masturat, doesn't look nice. It's about looking nice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, if you are happy, me looking like this, alhamdulillah. And they have also those types which are quite loose and baggy that they can wear. This is the original. Allah Ta'ala give us and give them tawfiq and give us understanding also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua of Allah, grant blessings to my ummah in the first part of the day. Now you can see what the influence, the first part of the day where the ummah is, we need to go jogging, we need to go running, we need to go cycling. So how they've taken all these things away from us? The first part of the day, this barakah, they want us to come over here. And you spend your time in an area now, in a place with so much of nudity, immodesty. And sometimes we'll argue, that no, it's not so bad, it's not so bad. Now ask yourself, my dear brothers, ask yourself, that when Nabi of Allah come there, to do any training, where there's so many women over there that are not clad correctly, would he come here right now? But you won't ask the question. Ask the masturat. But Fatima radiyallahu anha come here, where there's so many men around, she wouldn't come there. So already is a no-go zone. But what do you say? That's so bad. It's okay, you got to look after your eyes. And then the masturat will see also, but no, the men are not looking at us. Oh, rather we're not looking at them. We're not looking at them, so it's fine. All these arguments hold no weight in the court of Allah. It holds no weight whatsoever in the court of Allah. There's time, there's place to do certain things. The morning time now, you start the work. Masturat, start your housework already. By 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you are finished. Now is the time for Salatul Duha. Now you got time for Quran Tilawat. Now you can take a rest. Husband will come for lunch, if he's coming for lunch. Then you got your afternoon, you got the children that are coming in. There's a whole tartib of Shariat in this. But now we've altered the entire thing. Now morning time, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. When he comes to Salah time, then we're tired. Hazrat Singh also. Hazrat mentioned also that when he was in Germiston, one person used to come every day Ishraq time. Hazrat, you see him there every day Ishraq time. He said, what a pious man. And long namaz is to read. So then he asked somebody, who's this person? Every day he's here for, mashallah, from Fajr to Ishraq. He said, no, Hazrat, he's not here from Fajr. He only comes this part of the morning Ishraq time to use the bathroom and toilet, and it's Fajr namaz now. So Fajr namaz is not here, he comes now only to the Fajr namaz. Then Hazrat says, then he should meet somebody has to come after Asr to the masjid. And long namaz is to read. Hazrat says, no, sorry, after Maghrib. Hazrat says, you say, mashallah, look at him, awabin, so long. Then he got to know this person is to come Maghrib time, and after Maghrib is to make qaza of the whole day namaz. With reading awabin. And then the masturat, he says, that the whole day, they delay the namaz, and Isha also the delay, till the husband are sitting in bed and waiting. Now she said, I got Nafil Namaz to read. Then I got my Surahs to read. Ben, what are you doing all this time? The time that you're supposed to be reading, then you're sitting on the cell phone. Now the husband comes, he's already in the driveway. Quickly put the cell phone away, I start Namaz. So long Namaz you're reading. By the time I went, all the Nawafil, 17 Rakats, and I got my Surahs, I got my Zikr. Now the husband is waiting in the bed. And now she's finishing all up. This was Pan Surah before, Pan Surah. I read Pan Surah now. The Pan Surah she's reading. Now he's waiting, not realizing that when he went for namaz, she just started namaz that time. Now we're all on cell phone, this friend, that friend. So the whole tartib is gone off. Then she tells him, you faulty. He says, you faulty. And then we got load shedding, this fault over there too. Now we got double problem. Allah Ta'ala, give us understanding. This is the first part of the day. There's barakat time in that. So Sakhar radiallahu anhu was a trader. He's a narrator. He used to dispatch his goods in the first part of the day. Yes, if now we can't open shop, but we start arranging things. We got drivers, we got this, start sorting things out already. The first part of the morning, start sorting things out. And as a result of which, he earned great profit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, after performing Fajr Salah, do not close the door of sustenance by sleeping. After performing Fajr Salah, do not close the door of sustenance by sleeping. This is a great bimari right now. And he mentioned that morning, as Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, if you're tired after Fajr, then go and sleep. Is that haram? But nowadays, why the Ummah is sleeping after Fajr? Our youngsters, why they're sleeping after Fajr? Because they're gaming till 2 o'clock in the morning. They are gaming till 2 o'clock, can't sleep. It's on the game, on the cell phone. And most of the young girls, the young boys, can't get moving in the morning. Can't get moving. Tired. Come to madrasa also, the tired, falling asleep. Why so tired? What's the problem? Cell phone. Go to madrasa, they go to school, can't function, can't produce, can't show results. Because the whole body is going against the system of the body also. That is why it's mentioned that person who sleeps after Isha Salah. They say you sleep after Isha as soon as possible. I'm not mistaken, they say the sleep that you will get from 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, till around midnight or so, each hour is equal to 3 hours. Each hour is equal to 3 hours. Then by 2 o'clock you can wake up for tahajjud. And you sleep after midnight, then they say every hour is equal to, I think, less than an hour also. When you wake up for the time, now you're groggy, you're tired. Now you go to Yves class, and then you're ready for school and madrasa, and you're just tired. And parents are surprised, why are you so tired? Cell phone is finishing the ummah right now. And if they go no school, they go no madrasa, before to know if a person was a drug addict. Alright? And Saturday night he was going out, comes home late at night. And how you know he was on a high? He'd only wake up a certain time. I know whole day he slept because something wasn't right. With the kids it's the same thing. If there's no school or madrasa, what time they wake up? After Zohar. It shows that cell phone, what a drug it is. Finished him the whole night. And night time they're awake. At night they're awake and daytime they're sleeping. And now again they wake up in the night. It's an ajeeb whole system. As the Thalmi has mentioned, Rahmatullah Ali, in his Beshi Zawar, one of the kitabs, that after midnight or so, there are certain creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come out only at night, and the effects are not very good. So when a person is out of the home, is in the company of those creatures, the influence is not good on him. His mind becomes evil after that. The mind becomes evil and dark. Now you don't have to go out. That out came into the house. As I mentioned also, before this you go bioscope. Not bioscope, this you go cinema. This you go disco, this you go clubs. He said, now no need to go out, it's already in the house. Now it's all on the phone. It's there in the bedroom. The night is coming out like this, like one shaitan. And now you can understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that badiru bil amali saliha, that hasten of good amal. Soon there'll be a time where the fitnas will be such, like the layers of a dark night, that as the night progresses, it gets darker and darker. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, a person who spend the evening in the condition of Iman, by the morning he'll be a kafir. Or the morning he'll be a mu'min, by the evening he'll be a kafir. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. And he will sell his deen. He will sell his deen for little gain of dunya. Is that happening nowadays? It's happening. It's all on the cell phone. He's sitting there right now, he's a hafiz boy also, got class tomorrow morning. But he's sitting and he's playing game, or is there some haram website, or that Instagram, or TikTok, all haram things. All haram things there, and he's a mu'min, but the amal of kufr, actions of a kafir. And if he'll sell his iman, he'll sell it also. He got in contact with one girl there, and now he's talking to her. And the things he will say, things that constitute atheism also. Like he doesn't believe in Allah. Father sees, what are you talking over here? What is all this muck and dirt you're speaking? In my home, sitting in my under my roof, and talking things unbelievable, and parents don't accept it. Parents just don't want to accept what the children are speaking on the cell phone. You can't even tell the parents the words they use, the vocab, the language, and the things they are speaking. It's unbelievable. Even married people don't speak these things. Even married people don't even think about these things. But the youngsters, 14, 15, 16, what they are talking about. Recently, one youngster sent me all the screenshots, what he got involved in. I said, Ya Allah, I can't even read this thing. What filth and what dirt. Unbelievable. And the parents are not even worried about it. It's fine. But then you can see him in the morning how he is. Can't get moving. So that night is the worst time for them to be awake. Now is the time to close everything down. Even that FIFA they are playing or whatever the games they have, it's full of Satanism. But the parents are buying it. And the youngster will fight with his father. He'll make war at home. He'll bring the roof down for that one game. So he shows who he loves more. Who's controlling the house? Who's controlling the house is not the parents, the third parent. From behind the scenes, from behind the eye of that computer, who's sitting there in the background, in which office, in which building, in which part of the country, whether some Microsoft or some Intel, or they're calling the shots. We got you under control. Whether it's Apple, whether it's iPhone, whether it's Samsung, we're calling the shots. And they won't give their own children these gadgets. But we got it. We embraced it. We gave them the latest. And the children are so clever. They don't give me an organized one. He's trading online. You can't even believe it. He's making more money than you online. How many youngsters came? Father couldn't believe. How much you bought the cell phone for? A couple of good thousand rand. Where you got the money from? I was buying and selling. Where? Where was the stock? Can't believe it. He got into the father's safe also. Took a cell phone from there. Wheeling and dealing. Making money. Father got a shock. So much money he got. And from the cell phone went to the vaping. And his whole industry after that. And the whole industry, my dear brothers, you'll be shocked, is all operating in the sehen of the masjid. Oh, one room in the masjid is all the deals are being cut over there right now. The vape and the cell phones is all happening. The fathers don't even see it. The things are being exchanged right now. And when the son, now, mashallah, is already, when he's so enthusiastic to go to the masjid, you say, hey, mashallah, my son, you must know why he wants to go. You got a, one time, when Masjid al-Hilali was just opening also, it was in 2004 it started. So one parent came and told me later on, he said, Imana, recently, it was 2010. He said, my son, every namaz is pulling. Abba, you're going namaz, Hey, mashallah. No, but we go to Hilal. He said, no. Why? Maybe now he likes the masjid, he likes the reading. So I used to bring him. And there one entrance, he would come through that entrance every day. So then I waited, asked him. They finally asked him, why you don't go to Hilal every time? And it's only the one entrance you use. You got some friends there, something happened. He said, no. He said, they put a big screen over there, TV screen, 2010. They're going to show the football there, World Cup. He said, no better, no World Cup for the Masjid Hilal. 2010 was the World Cup, so he thought now we're putting the screen there, all the Muslims to see the World Cup. He thought now he's going to see free TV in the masjid. Na'uzubillah. But now it's happening in the masjid. Where all these deals are happening, parents will be shocked and surprised what is not happening in the house of Allah right now. They're playing all the games in the masjid. One corner they're sitting there, he's got his cell phone there, he's sitting like this. They've got a knack of doing it. So you can't see what they are doing. And they're playing games, full murat. And the father, mashallah, reading Awabin, he's reading Ishraq, he's reading Tasbi'at. That's what we tell the fathers. Keep your son next to you. There is sunnat next to you. In Nawafir, in Tasbih, Fatimi, Ayatul Kursi, three equals everything. Must be done next to you. Once he's in the back, he's an innocent boy. Somebody will catch him. One boy will take out his cell phone and you see three boys around him. Four boys around him. What they're looking at, what they're seeing, Allah knows best. It's only movies, it's only apps, and it's all haram things, and this boy is showing that boy. And they'll ask you, you don't have a cell phone. No, my father won't give me. I'll organize for you, don't worry. It's happening. I'll organize for you, don't worry. And I'll give him a cell phone. I'll give you terms also, no problem. I'll give you terms. And now you see your son wants to go to masjid. And he wants pocket money. What's happening? There's something happening there. Cell phone. For cell phone, how they're charging it, where they're using it. And you might think, no, you got no Wi-Fi. One youngster also. Father, give him a gadget, no Wi-Fi. But then too. Tired in the morning, can't in sabak. So I finally asked him, I said, I know you got this certain gadget. There's no SIM card in there whatsoever. What are you doing at night? Then he owned up. Now I'm playing games, watching movies. But how? There's no Wi-Fi in the house. Father cancelled it. You got no SIM card also. And his room is right next to his parents' room. I said, but what are you doing? He said, no, before my mother goes in the room, I put on a hotspot on her phone. So I connect my phone to her phone. So she thinks better, mashallah, he's sleeping. Not realizing now he's connected to her phone. So how sharp they are, how clever they are, how they get online, how that is like a drug. They can't sleep till they get online. I have to get online. Allah Ta'ala, give us the understanding that how the time is getting wasted. After Fajr, at night they're not sleeping. Daytime they are sleeping. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam mentioned, after performing Fajr Salah, do not close the door of sustenance by sleeping. Choose the morning to seek sustenance and fulfill your need, for there is blessings and benefit in the morning. Sleeping in the morning deprives one of sustenance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited sleeping before the rising of the sun. As far as possible. Do not sleep before the rising of the sun. If we have to, after the sun rises, read the Ishraq, then you can take a rest. But Hazrat Hakim Sahib will say, Rahmatullah, genuinely you are tired, you didn't have a good night. Now, sometimes the baby was crying the whole night, you had attend to it. And yes, you should be helping with that also. Now, for that, if I'm tired, see, you need to sleep, is that haram? Go and take a rest. But as a norm, every day, after Fajr Namaz, I just can't stay awake. Why you can't stay awake? Differently, your medication or something like that. But normally, because late night. The nights were late, now after Fajr, I'm tired. Now I can't stay awake. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq to correct our lifestyle also and our children's lifestyle. Otherwise, this is becoming a major problem. Major problem among the youngsters, that when they get married also. Now the wife, she came from a good home. She wants to start her morning off early. She wants to do her work. And he can't get going. He's tired. Now when he wakes up, now she's tired. She goes to bed. So the whole routine is upside down. Now they just don't meet. They just don't click. Because his habits are bad. He came with this. And the ajeeb thing, my dear brothers, this age, you can say from around 11, 12 or so. 11, 12 till around 18. Understand this very carefully. The life of a youngster, and we can relate to this because we went through that part of our life already. At that age, 11, 10, 11, 12 till 18. What that youngster is exposed to, what tarbiyat is made in that period of time, is for life. Is for life, very difficult to change it thereafter. What he does in those years, what you call the formative years, those are the formative years of his tarbiyat. If the bad habit starts from then sleeping late, it's for life now. He's not going to sleep early. And if he gets to bed early during those days of his, properly this routine, where there's time to do sabak, there's time to do his homework, there's time to eat, there's time for everything, in just those 5-6 years, has an impact on his entire life thereafter. Think about it. What habits we picked up then, that became our life. What we saw at that time, that's what we're seeing now. And if we saw the wrong things, now we're trying to fight it. We're trying to get over it. So those were the years. Those were the years where we got damaged or we were made. But that's the time. That's why the Hadith Sharif says, that's the period of time of our youngsters to secure his VIP seat under the Arsh of Allah. He grew up in the Ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he got it made. If he got it then, now you might think, okay, he spent his youth in the ibadat of Allah, and then what if he goes off the track? Rare. If he got it right then, he got it secure. He's going to be right. He's going to be right the rest of his life. As long as we do it properly, with mashwara. With mashwara, we do everything, we see the barakat in it. Now some parents, they want to do it right, but they don't realize they are harsh and they are hard. I want you to become a hafiz, send him full time. And no compromise. We will tell him also. And those youngsters will say, I hated it. I didn't want to go, father forced me. Make mashwara. Take him from young to the ulama ikram. Let him fall in love with the ulama. Now nicely they'll tell him. With muhabbat and love. And they give him encouragement. And then now and then go meet the ulama ikram. Go meet the sheikh also. They'll give him hadiyah. Tell him shabash, wahwa. You did so well, alhamdulillah. Soon you'll be on the musalla. All his words will take to his heart. And take to his heart, then he'll love to become the friend of Allah. So we do it with mashwara, with piyar and muhabbat, but important also, the husband and wife are together on this. Now what we gave him in those years now, 11, 12, 18, whether we put dunya in him, whether we put this type of education in him, or put the love of brand names in him, now he'll change his life. He'll change his life, but the courthouse must be branded now. He wants it tip top. Tip top is sunnah. But he wants it like that. Become a fashion apparel now that he's wearing. Now the discussions right now on Eid shopping. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Eid shopping also right now, the fashions that are coming out, whether it's now in line with the sunnah or not, the men's dressing. Right, there's an ulama groups they were mentioning recently also, that even the men's dressing now has become so ajib, we don't know whether this person is a man or is half a man. Because it's become feminine. That one side of the kurta, they go like a dopatta, hanging over there. That's Eid now, for the Eid morning, to go to the Eidgah. Don't know what kind of kurta that is, like a tuxedo. Tuxedo type of a kurta. Alright, with the tail at the bottom coming out, in the front is short, etc. The design of kurta this is. And you get one bichara coming to the Eidgah wearing it now. And all people say, hey, what a kurta this is. One person must wear it, and the rest will fall in love with it, it takes now. Now, whether we dress it because of sunnah, because of fashion, so because our tarbiyat was like that. We love the fashion, we mimic them, we ape to them. They say, monkey see, monkey do. So we're doing the same thing also. So they're designing it, and this is our information. Maybe about in 2010, 2011, there are certain companies, they see what will be the trend 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, 20 years ahead. They see the trends. So, I can't remember what the function is, but they will advise businesses now how to tap into that market. That will become the trend. How to do your adverts, what to stock, etc. So I remember some years ago when Musalli came. He came with a printout at that time. I said, Muqtasab, see the next, it was 20. The next 20 trends for the next 20 or 30 years. This will be the trend. And top of the list was halal industry. Halal. And this is going to be the trend now. And they're going to start. They're going to open avenues to make things halal because it's a big industry, because they recognize that Malaysia is very big, Indonesia is very big. It's an untapped market. It's an untapped market. So start going on to the Sharia compliance, halal, halal trend, halal brand name, and dump it in Middle East. Let the whole world come there, the Muslim Ummah, let them take it. There's enough money to be made. Enough money to be made, just put one stamp over there, halal. And you got it done. We'll keep our brand names, KFC, McDonald's, and just put it there, halal. And you got the entire Muslim Ummah, throughout the globe. And there's enough money to be made. Enough money. So they had that. Now remember also, I think number two was Puma. That time he showed me all these things. He said, see, this is the... They already now have did their research and investigations and the projection, this will be what the future will be like. And that's how they steer the people. So if we're not connected to deen, you don't have a guide, you're not involved in the effort of deen, then we'll just go with the flow. We'll just go with the flow. This is the fashion, this is the style, this is the way to be, this is how it is. And that is why our ulama say, if you want to understand what is the sunnah or close to the sunnah, you see the akabir of the time, what they are wearing, which way they are going, this is closest to sunnah. And then you'll have many. Many that are ulama also, but with the fashion, with the times, what they're going to wear next, what they're going to, which way they're going to take the people, what brand name, what style, etc., etc. We don't ape the brand and the styles, etc. But it's happening right now. It's all about style. This is when you go buy a kurta also, when you go to buy a kurta, or they go buy an abaya. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ What is the underlying intention? What is the underlying intention? The intention should be for the sunnah. We're not buying for sunnah, we're buying because it's smart. We're buying because it's smart, not because it's sunnah. The sunnah is out of the ummah right now. That I'm buying this kurta or this abaya because it's sunnah. I'm buying this ether or perfume because it's sunnah. I'm buying this because this is the trend.
Brand?
Acha. Yeah, got it, eh? Inshallah. So we can see the niyat behind this. When you go shopping also, why are we buying this? What's the reason behind it? What's it about? And so many things there, they're advertising, masturat advertising, you're gonna have this chocolate. So ask, is it sunnah to have this chocolate? But the way we're doing it, it's farz. You didn't have it, you didn't taste it like some gunagar you are. How come you didn't taste it? Get a life. Smell the coffee. Is that farz? Is that even mustahab also? Israf it is. For one chocolate, how much do you pay? 500 rand or dirhams. 500 rand for one chocolate. The whole slab. Or half a slab. What, 80 grams? 80 grams, like you're buying gold or something. 500 rand or silver. 80 grams of silver. So for one chocolate. And you didn't try it. What's wrong with you? Where are you living? You're not on the group. You don't know what's happening in the world. Inna lillahi. They said the sunnah. We're making like it's farz, like you're getting left behind. You getting? Yes, you're getting left behind. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the mufarridun have gone ahead. Remember clearly, the mufarridun. They have gone ahead. Sabaq al mufarridun. And Nabi of Allah, who are these people? These are those that are engaged in zikr of Allah all the time. The zikr of Allah, they are gone ahead. You have to catch them up. Sahaba came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. ذهب الدثور بالأجور يا نبي of Allah, the دثور, the wealthy Sahaba Ikram have gone ahead with the reward. They've gone, they beat us. They've taken all the reward. Let's see what was the trend among Sahaba. What the competition was. The poor Sahaba Ikram came to complain. The poor came to complain. Not that they are dressed up, they are going holiday, they are doing this. Ya Rasulullah, the rich Sahaba have gone ahead with the rewards. They left nothing for us. You gave the virtue of spending in the path of Allah, of man jahaza ghaziyan fahu fi sabilillah, the person who equips the mujahid, he's also in the path of Allah. So they're buying the ammunition and they're giving them camels and they're giving them goods and sending them in the path of Allah. They're getting all the reward. What are you going to get? What are you going to get? We don't have the means. The Nabi alayhi salatu salam said that person who recites Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, he will be gone ahead. He will beat everyone. Ya Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah, now we got the wazifa. Now we got the wazifa. They can spend and we'll read. And then they came again. Oh Nabi of Allah, we got another problem. What's the problem? Even they're reading now. Even they are reading now. They're spending and they're reading also. Oh my Sahaba, who will read more, he will go ahead. So increase it now. Increase it. This was the jazba with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Now the last few days of Ramadan, Mastura, the cutting Quran tilawat short. Cutting zikr short, why eat shopping? We have to go eat shopping. Time is getting wasted. The time is pure waste. As if we got no clothes at home right now. And there's no Eid gifts. It's not Christmas. There's no Eid gifts, no Muharram gifts. Sharia is simple. Nabi of Allah, where he had the means to give hadiyah like that? Sahaba Ikram, where they had the means to just spend and give hadiyah? There's no hadiyah. There's no hadiyah, there's no gifts. There's no hadiyah, there's no gifts. So this whole culture has come that now we have to do the shopping, we have to do this, we have to do that. So Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding, there's nothing in Sharia like this. This culture has come about to take us away from what we should be doing. So Allah Ta'ala give us that understanding that we don't waste our time. The masturat also, tell us this year no need to. We got enough clothing, Alhamdulillah. Make shukr to Allah what we have. Make shukr to Allah what we have, because there are children in the world right now, they don't have anything. Make shukr. No, don't waste the money right now. Better we save it. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Allah, the time is already up. Just choose one, 2 points over here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Etiquette for the husbands, number 17. Endeavor to change her habits. Endeavor to change the habits of the wife, like carelessness, laziness, etc. This also become common. Because the girls at home also with the cell phone, whole night they're awake, morning time they stick. And then we have domestics, and worse than the domestics we can have. But worse than that, we have now male workers within the home. Not permissible. To have the male workers within the home is not permissible. Now we are hiring them to work within the home, cleaning the kitchen, cleaning the floors, the masturat is, hay is open, speaking to them openly. Absolutely impermissible. There's no way that we can keep them within the home. Not permissible. So this is happening. I want to say no, because they do a better job. Because they're more chakras in their work. Not permissible. Hazrat says very clearly, understand, O Masturat, when you go in the qabr, Allah will not ask you whether your bathroom was clean, whether your kitchen was clean, whether your bedroom was vacuum. Allah will not ask you. Allah will ask you whether your heart was clean. This is tainting the heart. Tainting the iman. Where we have these workers coming within the house, even the garden boy, she just goes outside, open here, Samira captain, just speaking to him, no parda, no hijab, no fear. If Allah made this haram right now, the husband also doesn't have the himmat and the guts to tell her, you can't do this. You can't just shout at him, you can't just call him, you can't just speak to him. You gotta maintain your hijab and parda. We're not living for dunya, to make dunya comfortable. We're living for akhirat. There we want to enjoy ourselves, be comfortable. But all these things now, just to make our life comfortable, make it smooth, make it easy for us. So let it go, let it go, let it go. Not permissible. So carelessness, laziness, the change of habits with advice and admonition. This must be given tactfully, with wisdom and patience. This also, as we mentioned now, she may be slow in something, but we have modesty in speech also. We don't tell the wife, hey, make sharp, I'm waiting in the car, I'm waiting for her. No, don't put her under pressure. She's going to pack up the children also. And then we know more than often, she's ready already, about to come to the car, then the child will miss the diaper. And now he's hooting, now she's late again. But it's your child. Oh, now you just sat in the car, about to leave, now the 3-year-old will say, oh, I'm going to go to the toilet now. Oh. Now what do you say? We sit like a nanny in the car, I take him. And make sharp also, we're late. Third way to speak. If she's lazy, it's a different story. Truly, muhabbat and love. But just to handle her, talk to her like that, is that right? So this must be given tactfully with wisdom and patience. Rule with love and never with the eye in first. Rule with love and never with the eye in first. Is amongst her rights upon you that you tolerate. That you tolerate her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a woman is created from a crooked rib and there is therefore crookedness in her character. That will be there. So therefore we have to tolerate this, we have to understand it and we have to overlook it. But then to Hazrat say, with all the crookedness, he still does so many things right. He still does so many things right for you that comes out perfectly. How she runs the home, how she cooks the food, takes care of the children. We can't even do those things. But she does it. But she's made from the crooked rib. If you try to straighten her, you will destroy her. Therefore, take benefits from all the habits. There will be some kaji in there. Iwajan, there will be some crookedness. It will be there. Not that we are perfect also. So there will be some crookedness. There will be 80% is good. 20% is a little bit crooked. Tolerate it. It won't be 100% is crooked. 90% she'll get it right, alhamdulillah. But then too, there's more that we can do. There's more that we can even handle. She'll do it. We can't do it. If you try to straighten her, you will destroy her. Therefore, take benefit from her, together with her crookedness, look at her good qualities. Live with her and speak in the manner that you would want someone to treat your own sister or daughter. If you dislike some qualities in them, they possess others pleasing to you. Imagine you hear your son-in-law telling your daughter some bad words. You get alive, wake up, move it up. What's your problem? You say, look at this man. What he thinks, who he thinks he is. Not realizing, I'm talking the same way. I am talking the same way to my own wife. Allah Ta'ala, give us the understanding. If you dislike some qualities in her, then she possesses something that will please you. Look at those qualities. No one is perfect. Remember, the grass always seems greener on the other side. Then has there been quality time with the family? About talaq is detestable. Be patient with her also. If she's depressed, then sympathize with her. Never demand back any gift given to your wife. Even if the marriage ends in divorce. You give her a hadiah, don't ask for it back. Sometimes the mother-in-law will say, you know, now this thing ended, now you want everything back right now. You give her a hadiah, leave it like that. You gave it to her, leave it like that. It is totally forbidden to repossess gifts given at the time of marriage or at any other time. Never allow your wife to mix with other strange men. This will severely harm your marriage. She must observe shari'i hijab from them. The hadith describes a man who allows his wife to talk and freely mix with other men as a youth, a cuckold. You too should abstain from talking unnecessarily to strange women. Now you're telling her she must be careful. Don't talk to anybody. But each day now you're meeting your female cousins. Sitting with them, talking to them. The wife says, now how are you doing this? Now I'm giving them targhib. What do you learn in i'tikaf? No, you can't give them targhib. It's not permissible. You can't meet with them. You can't be sweet to them, etc. And she can't do the same to her cousins either. Oh, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, you should abstain from this completely. Strange ghair mahram, in Sharia refers to all people with whom marriage is permissible in Islam. Included in these people are cousins, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, parents, brothers and sisters. Parents, brothers and sisters, spouses. Your parents, brothers and sisters, spouses. So your uncle and aunties, spouses. Uncle's wife is غير mahram to you. For her auntie's husband is غير mahram to her. Can be a masaji, can be a foji, etc. As we use these terms, غير mahram. And unfortunately, sometimes these uncles also want to hug them, kiss them. This is my niece. This is your niece. This is your wife's niece. There's no hugging. No, she grew up in front of me. Doesn't make her mahram to you. You still غير mahram to you. You still غير mahram to you. And sometimes the girls feel shy also. How can I tell him no? So therefore, we should make mashwara. How do we do it? How we work around it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the brother-in-law is death. The brother-in-law is death. The cases wherein, where an illicit relationship was established in family circles are very many, and the consequences are disastrous. Never trust the nafs. Shaitan runs through the veins of man. Today many women keep male workers in their home. This is completely immoral and prohibited. Ensure that your wife observes hijab from drivers, gardeners, plumbers, electricians, they're all coming into the house. She should observe parda hijab from them, regardless of their race and ethnic background. Doesn't matter now what background they come from, they should be complete hijab. The last point, it is your Islamic obligation, the husband, to be the breadwinner of the family. You, the one that should go out and work. Never evade your responsibility and unduly burden your wife with the difficult task of supporting your family. Here, unfortunately, many women also have home industry for no reason. There's no need. And we ask them why? Extra cash. That extra cash is disastrous. Extra money is disastrous. Especially for the most, too much money available and too much of time. And then she becomes the qibla of the home, sign of qiyamah. Then she'll call the shots. We're not saying deprive them. Give them everything, alhamdulillah. But there's no need for you to do anything. If you've got spare time, get one apa, go to an apa, go for talim, learn your salah, learn your Quran. You couldn't become hafizah when you were young. Now you've got time. Go learn Yasin Sharif with tajweed, or Iflamim Sajda, Tabarak, Waqiyah. Go learn it properly with tajweed. So you can read properly Quran Sharif. And that will help you in the qabr. Quran will intercede for her in her qabr. So it is master your Quran. Now is time. The children are going big. Alhamdulillah. We've got avenues around. Go learn your deen now. What you missed out, correct your salah, taharat, ghusl, learn the masail. Now the grandchildren will come. Now you can teach them. Open your own maktab, Montessori at home, if you have to teach them. Now is the time you're a free one. Now they say, now we're free. Now we've got time for ourselves now. Now we've got time for cell phone, friends, going out, and we've got the extra cash. I don't like to ask him. I don't like to. Many say, I don't like to ask him for money. I'm earning my own money. We can see how disastrous it is. Husband, he must do the work and he must take care of her and her needs also within the confines of Sharia. Too much of wealth and too much of spare time is fitna. And we can see it. Too much of wealth, too much of time is fitna. The too much of wealth also that they have, where is going? Now we need to peddle. How much is one peddle racket? One bet, how much it is? 3,000, 4,000 rand. For one? Bet. For one bet, they pay that amount. I need extra cash, extra money, just for this amusement, which Allah Ta'ala says, the dunya is lahu wa la'ib. Allah says in Quran, dunya is lahun wa la'ib. Lahun, entertainment. Wa la'ib, and play. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. And we're running behind it. Allah warns us, I'm telling you, dunya is play and amusement. Are we making it play? Are we not making tawbah also? And Allah Ta'ala says that akhirat is a real life. That's a real life. We're not preparing for the real life. We're just enjoying now this amusement and this entertainment. And there's no tawbah, no even ill-feeling in the heart that we're doing something wrong. That's why I mentioned, even gunai kabira is having major sins. Woman doesn't regard it as major sin anymore. But she's going out on her own, playing pedal alone with only masturat. Men are passing by there, and men not passing. You're not supposed to be here right now. Is that your place? Is that a place for you right now? Not a place for you right now. But they want to do it. And if the man wants to do it in his time, then they say, you're taking our time now. No, you can't do this. But they're doing it. They're not supposed to be there. There's a place for the masturat and a place for the men. But it's all tipsy-turvy. Hazrat mentioned also, dunya has become so upside down. So upside down. That the men's pants is becoming longer or shorter. kurta is either long or shorter? Longer. And the woman's garments? Shorter. Tipsy-tavi. They've finished our brains. And we don't even realize it also. This is getting shorter. And the men's hair getting longer or shorter? Men on a keep. They're wearing Alice band nowadays. You saw, right? The men are wearing Alice band. Or they got ponytail. And the woman's hair? They don't want bob haircut. Right? Like bob them to look. Only short. So they want short haircut. And the men want to keep long hair. They want to keep long hair. And you see in namaz, the bichara, he leave the men. Even the little boy's hair. Unfortunately, the little children's hair also, the mother don't want to cut the hair. Now recently, one lady went with a baby, 4 or 5 year old baby, is what is a natural baby hair. So when, so that Appa saw her, so Appa asked, what's her name? You know, Appa, it's a boy. Oh, maaf. I didn't know it was a boy. It looked like a girl. Long hair. Why, that must be ginger, little bit hair, etc. Don't want to cut it. Don't want to cut the baby's hair. So he falls in love with his hair from the time he's small. So he loves his hair now. Loves his hair more than his parents also. Loves his hair more than the ustaz's instruction to him. You come into madrasa, we don't want long hair. No, I'll keep long hair. The mothers don't want to cut the hair anymore. They want to make the boys like girls. And the girls here, what they want to do? They don't want to cut it. Take it to the hairdresser. No, make it short. Hair is too thick. She's perspiring. All the excuses they'll make now. Boy's hair is long and the girl's hair. Now the boy doesn't know what he is now. And then they say, you're trapped. I'm actually a girl in a boy's body. I don't know really where. And the girl is the opposite. So they don't know. Who's doing it? The mothers. They don't want to listen. Explaining to them, bring deen into your life. That is the straight thing to do. So everything is tipsy-turvy. The boy's hair, the girl's hair, the garments, everything else, all upside down. So we can't even think straight anymore. Then Hazrat says, even the roads also they made us. We don't even know if like our country now, you must drive on which side of the road? The left side. You must drive on the left side. So if you drive on the right side, what do you tell you? Wrong side. What do you say? I'm driving the right side. He said, no, wrong side. But it's the right side. He said, but it's the wrong side. How can the right be wrong? An Islamic country or a Muslim country, which side you drive? Right side is the right side. And if you drive on the left side, we'll tell you, it's the wrong side. But now, British, American, it's all other way around. So you tell him, but I'm on the right side. He said, no, you're on the wrong side. So now how are you going to reason with him now? They give you a ticket for that. So the whole thing is upside down. Whole thing is what upside down. Our brains have become like that person. Mustarab, we can't understand the right thing with the wrong thing. Involved in major, major, major sins. And we're not making tawbah also. The last week is Ramadan, whether they'll make tawbah, whether they understand, whether we understand, as husbands also, is not the right thing. How are we going to stop it? Ta'lim in the home, go in the path of Allah, bring the teachings of mashaykh in our home, make muzakara, get them connected to one apa, they can explain to them to understand. These are not right. These are major sins that we're involved in right now. We're not even feeling the pinch. We don't even feel the heat of it. We're not even making tawbah from it also. One is the husband says, okay, we're doing it. Like Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he was doing whatever he was. It wasn't a sin or anything. But somebody wrote to him and told him, Sheikh, you're doing this certain thing. We don't agree with it. Because I brought all these proofs to prove it right. He just wrote two words in reply, which is what we should do also. Right? Okay. It wasn't the ideal thing according to that alim on his level. So he wrote back just two words reply. Nafa'alu wa nastaghfiru. We do it and make istighfar. So the masturat us also, don't say no, what's wrong with it? What's wrong if we go out? What's wrong with only ladies together? Only ladies walking. You can't even go together for hajj like that. It's not permissible for ladies jamaat to go for hajj. So leave walking together anywhere else. There's a place to walk, place to go, place how to do. Allah Ta'ala has put restrictions for your own. We didn't put it. Restrictions are from our side, not from the husband's side, not from the alim side. They say, don't shoot the messenger. You're only the messenger. They're passing on the message. It's for them to understand the one that created me, that loves me, and full of wisdom, has given this command. Has given the command. And just quickly to end, when they don't understand this, is my dear brothers, where the place is, where they should be, what they should be doing, then you see the effects of the children. You see the effects of the children. Just as now she's carrying herself out with her husband, the children will treat her the same. They won't listen. They'll go to a different level. Now the mother got no control. And you find kumul in the homes. Husband told her, don't dress like this. Nobody's a function. I need to show. Oh, we're going out. How can I dress so dabbly? The daughter also at the age of 13, she challenged the mother. The son also, I don't wear this. I want to wear that one. You can't wear it. And the fight is on. It's happening in all the homes right now. Even the son also, he took out the shoe, throw it outside. Throw it outside the house also. I don't wear this. Oh, this is bad. I don't like it. Because she told the husband the same thing. I don't like that. How to wear this? Children do this. And how are you going to control them? Now you're going for a happy occasion function, but that car is a jamaat of depressed people. Nobody's talking. All depressed. All sulky faces. Nobody's happy. It's supposed to be a happy occasion. Everybody's upside down. The son, he's looking outside that way. Daughter looking that way outside. Nobody can see eye to eye. Nobody reading dua also. Father says, reading dua. No reply. No reply. He loses his head now. Don't reply, don't read du'as also, don't make salam also. Then you will tell them, now we're in Nani's house, Daddy's house, please make salam. No reply. Then you go there, grandparents say, what happened? Nobody's talking, nobody's sulky, prepared the meal, everybody's excited, all because of one thing. This guna and kabira is taking place in the homes, nobody's making tawbah. We should say, nafalu, yes, my weakness. I'm doing it, inshallah, I'm making istighfar and tawbah, Allah give me the tawfiq and ability. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. The husbands, alhamdulillah, most of the husbands are spending a lot on their families, etc. Allah Ta'ala put our homes right. Put our minds right so we know what is the right thing to do, right thing to steer them. But all this is the evil effect of the education, my dear. It's all the education. The secular education has destroyed the minds of the people. Completely. As we mentioned, we went out of Afghanistan. Those Afghani women, Hazrat says, are called the most backward women in the world. Uneducated. Backward, no style, don't know anything of dunya. Father says they were those most intelligent women in the eyes of Allah that gave birth to Mujahideen, that dropped 52 nations. Where you get a nation like that? And if you sit with those Mujahideen and hear the strategy, subhanAllah, absolutely mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Where did you get? You know, when you hear before Khalid bin Walid is coming. When the emperor would hear that Khalid had been dispatched. Already 50% he lost his breath now. Because what strategy he's going to come with? Which way he's going to maneuver? SubhanAllah, these Mujahideen, when you think, Ya Allah, where they got this intelligence from? Without having all this formal education, mothers knew nothing of dunya. They only knew how to nurture these children, put into their values of deen, and they took on the power of the world. When you ask them also, they'll tell you, that when these 52 nations came, they came with weaponry and artillery and ammunition of the world and intelligence where there's a complete imbalance of power. We had nothing. We had broken guns and broken tanks and everything, living in tents and mud homes. They came with the intelligence of the world against the people like us. But we knew the promise of Allah. Subhanallah. And he quoted the ayat also, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Allah Ta'ala gives the command, وَأَعِدُّ, that you prepare against them. You prepare for them مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, your power. مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, see the word, مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah says, you prepare to the best of your ability. What is our best ability? We had broken boots, broken shoelaces, broken sandals. That's what we had, the best. We put that on. We only had kurtas. We got no fancy vests and jackets, etc. We have broken guns, a little bit of bullets, what we had left over from the Russians, that we picked up. Mothers raised their hands, they made our du'as. One Mujahid said, they polished our boots and we marched. We left, they gave du'as and we went. So we, and Allah Ta'ala said, you prepare yourself to the best of your ability, وَمِرْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ, and tie your horses, train your horses. تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ, by means of which you can strike awe in the kuffar's heart. You strike awe with your horses, with your broken guns, Allah will put awe in their heart. They say, we prepared. And we left the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 20 years that Allah Pak gave us, He mentioned to us, I think, $86 billion worth of ammunition, artillery, mali ghanimat, they left behind for us. 86 billion. Say, even we worked for 86 years to buy that amount, we wouldn't be able to pay it off. Allah gave it one hit, $86 billion worth of the finest technology you can find right now. Night vision and what? You see those guns too, like twice they're playing with it. And they will show us also the torch here, vision here, laser coming out from there, and what and how they mastered using these things over here. Like one brother Qari Fasihuddin, we asked him, what was your best banduk, your best gun? So he was one of those mujahideen that there was a place in Afghanistan after the NATO forces left, a certain area which was under the Northern Alliance, which they had enough ammunition they had to take on the Taliban. So they couldn't take over that certain area, Masood Shah's area. So they made mashwara. So he was sitting with his mujahid, sitting with him, having tea with him, subhanAllah. And at that moment of time, at his beck and call under his command, he's got 180,000 troops under his command. One man, 180,000 troops under his command, he called them up. So I asked him, what happened then? He said, so they made mashwara, that we can't take over this area. So they made mashwara to send me, Qari Fasihuddin. That time his name was in the media at the time. The Qari Fasihuddin now has taken his mujahideen and they're proceeding towards Panjshir. It's called Panjshir, which was a very strong hold of this. So I see what happened. Whatever Allah Ta'ala put into his mind, but when they heard the Qari Fasihuddin is coming already, now already they were worried. 50% they lost their breath. Now what strategy he's going to use? So about a week they tried to penetrate the Taliban, they couldn't. Then they made mashwara, they sent him. So I see what happened. You see Allah's Qudrat, in 2 days and two nights, Allah Ta'ala gave us victory. In 2 days and two nights, Allah Ta'ala gave us victory. So I asked, what was your favorite banduk, favorite gun? Say, my sniper gun. My sniper gun. And he had a 50 caliber. What was it? The 50 caliber, which is a big gun, I think. He put it in the back of the van in there. Say, I should run with that. The 50 caliber, I should run with that. Now, where you get strength to run with something like that? SubhanAllah. What did Allah Ta'ala gave them? This was intelligence. Now we tell our sons, they know the game only. What's some pug or pub or something they're playing? P-U-G or, huh? You hear the boys talking about this thing. Whether it's halal or haram, Allah knows best. But they think they're warriors now. They think they are big warriors. He's carrying on peace now in his pocket. He thinks, now he take on the whole world. They, subhanAllah, they drop so many countries and nothing for them. Absolutely simple people. Absolutely simple people. The one driver we had, Hadi Abdul Rauf, 6-foot-tall person, quiet man, only zikr of Allah. And so we asked him, what was your expertise? He said, bombari karna, to bomb the people out. I said, what you should do? He said, I was an expert in making bombs. But there was a military camp, he says that I loaded the old Mazda full of bombs and we had the Fida'iyin. Fida'iyin was a jamaat of those that were prepared suicide bombers. A whole jamaat of them enlisted their names. And from those with Fida'iyin, then the Hukumat and the Taliban chose 313 of them to become the Badri 313. They are very special elite force that are trained to give life. So they are chosen from the Fida'iyin. Fida'iyin means those that have ransomed their lives. And we still have the Jamaat of Fida'iyin that have already listed their names. They haven't taken out their names. They're waiting. Quran says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. That those Sahaba Ikram, they fulfilled their promise to Allah. They gave their lives. They are those that are still waiting to give their lives. They are still waiting to give. The call comes, our name is there already. And who's behind them? Their mothers. Their mothers are behind them. Better you give them your name, you must go. We didn't give birth to you to make money and to live at home. Your life is for deen. But subhanAllah, so I asked him then, he said, so I loaded one old Mazda. And one of these suicide bombers, he took it and he went into the camp. I said, what happened? He said, you bombed them. Simple, he said, you bombed them. He said, how many you killed? He said, no, sir. 900. Took 900. He said, but the press media will say, only 9 died. There were 900 in the camp, all went. And he loaded it. Now this is intelligence, my dear friends. He said, all this was to eradicate the kufr and establish deen. Not just to kill. A Muslim is not bloodthirsty. This was ganger. What do you call it? Gangrene. This was gangrene in our country. So we had to take out this gangrene, so we could remedy the body and deen can be established. So we had to amputate. And it took us long to amputate this kufr. We don't want it in the country. So this is why now, so to say, they banned the secular or tertiary education with the Mastura. Because you have to get them back where they are originally the most intelligent women. These are the most intelligent. They know when to cover, they know when to leave, they know how to nurture, they know what to put into the children, they know how to educate them in the correct things. Like Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi, he's mentioned the age of 6 already. His mother will send him to the Mujahideen military camp. Go there and see how they are training. Salahuddin Ayyubi, his name was Yusuf. His title was Salahuddin. From age 6 already. And he would say that when I would sit with my father and my uncle, they both were commanders of the army in the time of Nuruddin Zangi rahmatullah alayh. They both were commanders. He said the only one topic they used to speak about, only one topic, was Al-Aqsa, Al-Quds. Because the Ummah had lost it. That was the only topic of discussion. How are we going to maneuver? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do? So he is mentioned in his biography that the reality is he was not suckled on the milk of his mother. He was suckled on the milk of the love of Al-Aqsa. For Quds, this was in his blood. How can we get this back? And then Allah Ta'ala gave him. He said, it was all because of my mother. The age of 6, she would send me. Go and see how they're training. One day you're going to get to the top. And listen to his parents, what they were talking about. Today, our sons, what they're listening. Listening when you're on the car, the cell phone, boss, right. What's the dividends? How much we're getting? What model car it is? Auto? And they only listen to that now. They listen to the boys speaking, young boys, they speak like that also. Whatever his father's occupation is, he's speaking the same thing. They pick it up. So this is what he picked up. And from where to where Allah Ta'ala took him, under the guidance of Nuruddin Zangi rahmatullah alayh, great wali of Allah he was. He saw the talent in this boy and how he got into Egypt that time. Egypt that time and North Africa for more than 200 years were under the Fatimi Shias. Very cut and strong Shias. And how he got into Egypt and slowly without any jihad, how he worked his way through. This is intelligence. This is really intelligence. And they say he will keep with him every time a jamaat of dhakirin. Because Allah Ta'ala's help is with the dhikr karne wala. Because they make dhikr, Allah's help with them. And he would pay them a stipend also just to make dhikr. You sit there and you make dhikr only. And make tawajjuh. Allah Ta'ala's help is with you. And like this, he dropped the whole of Egypt under his control. That whole palace, where about 2,000 family members of the royal family were staying. He could have taken it himself and relaxed. He gave it to the mujahideen. They all stayed there. And he had his tent. He would live in his tent. Like a pauper. And finally Allah Ta'ala gave him the whole of Egypt. Then he said he turned towards Al-Aqsa and he made dua. Ya Allah, you gave me Quds. If you gave me Egypt, you'll give me Quds also. And how he planned the entire thing. How Allah Ta'ala gave him the strategies that he used without formal education. This is true intelligence. Where it comes from? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ Have taqwa of Allah. Allah said you have taqwa, consciousness of Allah. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah said, I will teach you directly. I will teach you directly. And so you tell the boys in Darul Ulum, there's two types of ilm. Ilm wahabi, ilm kasabi. Ilm kasabi is what you do in kitabs. Right? That you apply yourself, you learn your work, you have to do that. Once you get to the top of the ilm kasabi, and you study properly, you check your kitabs, you know your work, and you got taqwa in you, then Allah Ta'ala gives you ilm wahabi. Ilm al-dunni is called also. Knowledge from the side of Allah. Knowledge from Allah's side. Then you hear the mashayikh speaking, our senior mashayikh, and you think, where is he getting it from? Ya Allah, where is it coming from? That is any kitab, anything whatsoever. It's all from Allah Ta'ala. It's just flowing right now. Hazrat says so simply, the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib will mention, all they do is they attach themselves to the matka. What's matka? The earthen, water, this thing, pot. So they just link themselves there. And in that pot, there's another pipe coming inside. The water supply is coming in. And that's linked now to the reservoir. This is linked now to the dam. From the dam, it goes all right into the ocean. So the ocean is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the mashayikh do, they tell you, you just attach yourself. Just attach yourself, and we just open the tap a bit. There's no need for you to even check the kitabs now. We just open the tap a bit, and the water is flowing. From the ocean through you, what they need right now, it quench the thirst of the people. He said, that's what you want, sons like that. And we attach them now to that reservoir and that ocean. Then you see the intelligence. The mujahideen, subhanAllah, what intelligence. The Lord of Karl Guzaris, we don't have the time right now. But to understand, this is the original. This was the ummah. Not with that now British college and this education, that education. And you think, what are we going to eat? They don't have education, what are we going to eat? SubhanAllah, when you're sitting with them also, how they fed us. And those big, big ministries and those offices that you were sitting in, plush offices with the flags, La ilaha illallah, Ministry of Refugees, Ministry of Water, Ministry of Electricity, all big ministries, all the ulama, they're sitting there. And what were chairs and sofas and what were buildings and palaces that you want to, Sapidar Palace also. We made the Deputy Prime Minister at that time, Maulavi Abdul Kabir Haqqani. Massive, big ministry. The bathroom was such a big bathroom with tubs and all in there. But he's got no time to even go to the bedroom upstairs. He sleeps like in the security room. He's entered, there's a room on the side. That's where he sleeps. I'm a khadim of the people. No time to enjoy. You don't have to enjoy all these things over here. That's iman. So, when you sit with them, and then they'll tell you, many of them, they had this. When you're sitting with them, they've got those big, massive, long tables there. He'll bang the table. He says, yes, mali ghanimat. How we earned it? Allah gave it free. Mali ghanimat. Spoils of war. The cars, spoils of war. Cars also. All armored, bulletproof. And when you put the, switch the car on also, the main computer screen comes on. With the American flag, the eagle. Property of that country. They say, dekho bhai, America, hamara hai. Allah gave it to us. They have to bring all this and leave it for us over here. Allah gave free. Allah Ta'ala gave it for free. Little qurban we made, 20 years sacrifice, we lost men also, Allah Ta'ala gave it. Where it came from? No education. Wearing sandals, wearing jumpers, etc. Allah Ta'ala gave it to us. But last one, you made the talib, Janan. I asked him, what's your expertise? He said, I used to make like landmines, bombs. He said, I used to make, where you learn to make? He said, Asami, I'll teach you also. I said, what you should do with it? He said, we should bomb the Humvees. Bomb the Humvees. Before we should see it, but the Humvees moving also, it just exploded. He said, Asan, you take 20 liter bucket, we get three portions of fertilizer. Three portions of fertilizer, one portion of plaster of Paris. And you mix it tight, and you put some other things in there, you load it in a 20 liter bucket, dig a hole in the road and you bury it. Then you connect your two wires to it. The two wires you connect to it and then you pull it. So how far away? Sometimes 1 kilometer, half a kilometer, and you sit and you wait. How you detonate it? Because you need a detonator. He said, no, can't use it. That thing gives a signal. It'll pick us up. Then how you do it? You take a pliers. Take the pliers. When it comes, you just close the pliers. That thing touches. Once it touches, it sparks. And you look at intelligence. This is intelligence. Allah Ta'ala has given. We took on the power of the world, superpower of the world, with chumples and pliers and a 20 liter bucket. Ya Allah. What an insult. What an insult that they designed these things, or what factories and intelligence, and you just bomb them like that. This, as I said, this is intelligence. Teach our children to be intelligent. We want to give them the best education, but we're giving them the worst education. And anxiety we are going through as parents. Yeah, you got this project and you got this assignment. And now we're going to go to the internet and we're going to do this and that. Whether the boy understands or didn't understand, he must still do it. And the parents are doing most of the work. And where are we putting them? Then they're getting top jobs, top pay at the expense of the iman. At the expense of the iman. Those working hospitals, in the corporate world, they don't like to say it, but the amount of zina that's taking place. Unbelievable. Iman is gone. But his top job, earning very well. Got a plush home, family. But what he's doing, a job, Allah Ta'ala put it. It's happening, my brother, it's happening. Just for that one degree and the job is happening. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Bring the reality of deen into our life, inshallah. Subhanakallah.